ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ಸೊ ಟುಡೇ ಇಸ್ ಅ ವಂಡರ್ಫುಲ್ ಒಕೇಶನ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಡಿಸಪಿಯರೆನ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಡಿವೈನ್ ಗ್ರೇಸ್ ಶ್ರೀಲ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಸಿದ್ಧಾಂತ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ಠಾಕೂರ್ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ. ಅಂಡ್ ವಿ ರೀಡಿಂಗ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಚರಿತಾಮೃತ ಆದಿಲೀಲಾ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 7 ಟೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ 163. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation: Shri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and His associates of the Pancha Tattva distributed the holy name of the Lord to invoke love of Godhead throughout the universe, and thus the entire universe was thankful. Purport. Here it is said that Lord Chaitanya made the entire universe thankful to him for propagating the Sankirtan movement with his associates. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has already sanctified the entire universe by his presence 500 years ago, and therefore anyone who attempts to serve Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sincerely by following in his footsteps and following the instructions of the Acharyas will successfully be able to preach the holy names of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra all over the universe. There are some foolish critics who say that Europeans and Americans cannot be offered sannyas. But here we find that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to preach the Sankirtan movement all over the universe. For preaching work, sannyasis are essential. These critics think that only Indians or Hindus should be offered sannyas to preach, but their knowledge is practically nil. Without sannyasis, the preaching work will be impeded. Therefore, under the instruction of Lord Chaitanya and with the blessings of his associates, there should be no discrimination in this matter. But people in all parts of the world should be trained to preach and given sannyas so that the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement will expand boundlessly. We do not care about the criticism of fools. We shall go on with our work and simply depend on the blessings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, the Pancha Tattva. ಓಂ ಅಧ್ಯಾಂತಿ ಬರಾಂಧಸ್ಯ ಜ್ಞಾನಾಂಜನ ಶಲಾಕೆಯ ಚಕ್ಷುರುನ್ಮಿಲಿತಂ ಯೇನ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರವೇ ನಮಃ. ನಮೋಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪ್ರೇಷ್ಠಾಯ ಭೂತಲೇ ಶ್ರೀಮತೇ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ನಿತಿ ನಾಮಿನೇ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ದೇವೇ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಿಣೇ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶತಾರಿಣೇ. ಜೈ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಘೋರ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ. ಸೊ ಟುಡೇಸ್ ಡೇ ಇಸ್ ಇನ್ಕ್ರೆಡಿಬ್ಲಿ ಆಸ್ಪಿಷಿಯಸ್ because the coming and the going of great personalities is not different. When they come, it's a blessing, and when they leave a lot of empowerment for the followers to continue. And hence, their legacy, as we see in this verse, Mahaprabhu's legacy is to distribute the holy name, the love of Godhead, all over the universe. And that legacy is left for the following generation to fulfill. So just after this verse, we see that Mahaprabhu, he is in Jagannath Puri, and it is also mentioned in Chaitanya Bhagavat how Mahaprabhu actually decides to go to South India under the pretext of trying to find his brother. In reality, he wants to go to South India to distribute the message of love of Godhead, the Sankirtan movement. So the initiation of the Sankirtan movement happens by Mahaprabhu leaving Jagannath Puri to go to South India and touring all of India and making so many wonderful personalities into devotees. This is mentioned in Chaitanya Bhagavat. What is the first stop he takes when he leaves Jagannath Puri? Anyone knows? Before leaving for the South India Yatra, he stops at Alalnath. And we see, if you go to Alalnath, even today, you see that the Mahaprabhu's entire bodily form got imprinted in stone. So we can see that in Alalnath. And at Alalnath, there was a wonderful prediction, a prophecy that was made. The prophecy that was made at Alalnath was made by Lord Nityananda. And the prophecy was, in every town and village, your name will be glorified. This prophecy was made when Mahaprabhu left for South India. That is the inauguration of the Sankirtan movement. And we see that not only Mahaprabhu left, Mahaprabhu wanted to, as Prabhupada says in the purport, let this Krishna consciousness movement spread all over the universe. Mahaprabhu sent Nityananda Prabhu to Bengal. So if you speak to any Bengalis, they all know Nityananda. They know Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, but through Nityananda, because Nityananda Prabhu went to Bengal. And we see the six Goswamis, they were sent to Vrindavan to excavate the places of pastimes of Lord Krishna. And then we see in Vrindavan itself, Jiva Goswami, the last of the Goswamis. Why the last of the Goswamis? Because he was the last one alive on the planet. He was the last Goswami. He had three disciples, Narottam Das Thakur, Shyamananda, and Srinivas. And he sent these three in three directions in the places that they were born. It's in Bengal, Bihar, and Orissa. So he sent them with the books of the Goswamis to distribute these books to all the scholars in their region, because they were written in Sanskrit. So this is the inauguration of the book distribution movement done by Jiva Goswami from Radha Damodar Mandir, which is the very place where Srila Prabhupada stayed before coming to the West to distribute this message of Godhead. So we see the heart of the Sankirtan movement and the connection of the Sankirtan movement. Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, of course, Mahaprabhu gave this order to Nityananda, Jiva Goswami gave the order to his three disciples, and then due to passage of time and also certain rulers in India, like the fearsome Aurangzeb, who was, you know, quite brutal on all communities, on everyone practically. Slowly and slowly, the mainstream Vaishnavism declined. And as Vaishnavism declined, it became just superficial, without philosophy. People would practice worshipping of Radha Krishna under the direction of the caste Goswamis and take it very cheaply. And they would consider the love affair between Radha and Krishna to be like a mundane love affair. Not understanding that it is the Supreme Lord and the energy of the Lord. Like Srila Prabhupada says, sun and sunlight. So there were so many concoctions and so many different Sahajya groups that came up. Sakhi Bheki, Gauranga Nagari, you know. At one point I gave a class on all of these different Sahajya groups here in Manor. And all these Sahajya groups, the idea is very simple, that Krishna consciousness is very Sahaj. Sahaj means, in Bengali, very easy. You don't have to follow any principles. You can eat, drink and be merry. Do what you want. Have illegitimate relationships. Alcohol, everything is fine as long as you're chanting Hare Krishna. Everything is pure. So such nonsensical ideas were being promoted. Slowly the movement declined and then came the British Raj. And in British Raj, the only thing that was sensible was Christianity. And here in the House of Parliament, there was a proclamation made that the Indian Empire is full of heathens, backward people who need to be civilized and brought to the message of Lord Jesus Christ. So that was the proclaimed idea behind. So everything that was Christian was wonderful. The Victorian sensibilities and mannerisms were well regarded. And in that scenario, the entire Gaudiya Vaishnava movement, which was inaugurated by Mahaprabhu, completely declined. So then came Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, of course, during his appearance day or disappearance day, we can talk about him. So I will just briefly say that he was the one who started to counter-influence. So there was the British Raj who considered everything which was Hindu or Indian to be, or Sanatan Dharma to be, just nonsense, utter nonsense is what they said. As they were not able to understand and appreciate the scriptures. At that time, there was a movement called Bhadralok, which was started by some Indians. The Bhadralok movement wanted to justify the practices of Hinduism and purge some practices of Hinduism. For example, they didn't believe in deity worship. They said, why you want to worship a stone? There are so many stones. Why you want to worship a stone? So this deity worship is nonsense. Chanting of her holy name, it's only sentimental, it's nonsense. So what is good? Discussing philosophy. So they opened Theosophical Society, Blavatsky. And the Bhadralok movement was to purge Hinduism of all its so-called orthodoxity. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur appeared at that time. And he initially took part in the Bhadralok movement, only later to counter it and to establish Vaishnavism. Bhaktivinoda Thakur married Bhagavati Devi, and when he was 31 years old, in 1869, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was an officer, worked for the British government. He was deputed to Jagannath Puri in 1869. Young man, 31 year old. He already had 6 children by then. So, with the 6 children, he went to Jagannath Puri, and there was a person, Ramchandra Arya, who had a beautiful house right on the main road called the Grant Road, on which the Rath Yatra procession goes. So he rented that house from Ramchandra Arya, and he was living there with his wife. And he was thinking, how will I ever achieve the mission of Mahaprabhu to distribute the holy names, the love of Godhead all over the universe? As he was meditating, he was a deputy magistrate for the government in Jagannath Puri, and a deputy collector as well. So he used to collect the taxes on behalf of the government. One day, after visiting Jagannath Mandir, coming back, he took some rest in the afternoon. And in that, during that time, he had a dream. It was a very secret, beautiful dream. In the dream, he got woken up by Lord Jagannath. And Lord Jagannath told him, Kedarnath, I have not invited you here, called you here to serve the British government. I've called you here so that you may re-establish the Vaishnava movement, the movement of Lord Chaitanya. Kedarnath said, but Lord Jagannath, I've got no means. I'm practically alone. How will I achieve this mission? If you so wish, please send me one of your personal associates to establish this mission. And Jagannath said, I shall send you my personal associate. Go and worship Bimla Devi in the Jagannath Mandir and give her prasad to your wife, Bhagavati. And she shall have my associate. She shall have a son who will be my associate. So, later on, of course, immediately, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, after waking up, went to Bimla Devi, got the prasad, Bhagavati Devi had the prasad, and 9 months from then, on 1st of January, 1874, appeared a beautiful boy, who Bhaktivinoda Thakur named Bimla Prasad, because he was the prasad of Bimla Devi. Bimla Prasad was born as the 7th child. Bhaktivinoda Thakur had 14 children, 1-4, and he was the 7th. Bimla Prasad later on to become Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. When he was only 6 months old, Bimla Prasad and his mother, Bhagavati Devi, they were in the home, and the reverse Rath Yatra from Gundicha to Puri Mandir was taking place. And the Rath somehow stopped right in front of the gate. So now if you go to Puri, you have Gaudiya Math, Chaitanya Gaudiya Math. That is the place where Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was born, and he grew up there in early years. So that very place, the Rath stopped. And Bhagavati Devi always knew that this baby is special. This child is special. Because even when he was born with an umbilical cord which went around like this. So she knew this is a Brahmana baby. Already initiated. Double initiated at birth. It's a very special baby, but at 6 months old, 3 days the Rath would not move. So many pandas, they tried so many things. And there was so much commotion. And if it's right outside your house, you want to go and see. So she stepped out with little 6-month-old Bimla Prasad. And as soon as she went and took darshan of Jagannath, who was on the cart, the garland of Jagannath fell. And right around her neck and that of Bimla Prasad. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur standing there, he understood. Lord Jagannath has fulfilled his promise by sending his dear servant. And at that very moment, the Pandas who were trying to pull Jagannath Rath, immediately the Rath started moving. So he was as if just waiting for Bimla Prasad to come out. This child was very, very special. When he was 7 years old, he was so attached to chanting the holy names that Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave him initiation in Harinam. He gave him the beads and said, please chant. And as soon as he gave him the beads, immediately he started chanting non-stop until Bhaktivinoda Thakur told him, okay, you have to stop after 1 lakh names. 1 lakh names is 64 rounds. So every day he would chant 64 rounds. when, since he was 7 years old, he would chant 64 rounds. When he was 8 years old, they moved to Calcutta, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur was excavating foundation of the place, which he later on named Bhakti Bhavan. And while the excavation was going on, they discovered a deity of Kurmadev. And immediately, Siddhant Saraswati Thakur, 8-year-old boy, wanted to worship this Kurmadev. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur gifted him the Kurmadev and he started worshipping Kurmadev, which he worshipped all throughout his life. Kurmadev gives us stability. Worship of Kurmadev gives us stability in our spiritual life and even our material life. So he worshipped Kurmadev. At 9 years old, he had mastered the entire Bhagavad Gita, memorized all 700 verses with meaning, and he could even speak and give purports. That was his ability. His determination was such that once Bhaktivinoda Thakur had got mangoes, and Siddhant Saraswati Thakur loved mangoes, so he grabbed the mango and he put it in his mouth, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, "Oh, this mango was not offered." Hearing that, Siddhant Saraswati Thakur took a vow that I shall never have a mango for the rest of my life. Imagine a 9-year-old boy taking that vow. And even when, as a great acharya, he was offered by his disciples, he was offered mangoes, he would say, "No, I'm an offender. I cannot eat mangoes." That was his determination. When he was 12 years old, in 1886, he was already well versed in Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and Bhagavad Gita. And a 12-year-old boy, in 1886, Bhaktivinoda Thakur had started Sajjana Toshini, a magazine for the devotees, for the Vaishnava community, or people in general, to appreciate the Vaishnavas. So the Sajjana Toshini, Bhaktivinoda Thakur would write articles after articles, but he needed a proofreader. Who was the proofreader? The 12-year-old boy, Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, was a proofreader for the articles written by Bhaktivinoda. At the age of 13, he started studying Jyotisha, astronomy. And there is a book on astronomy, ancient book, which is known as Surya Siddhanta. He mastered the Surya Siddhanta and he got admission in college at the age of 13. And because he had mastered Surya Siddhanta, he was awarded the title Siddhanta Saraswati. That is how he got the title Siddhanta Saraswati. Soon he was recognized amongst his peers as a living encyclopedia. Someone whom you could ask anything and he would be able to quote verbatim. Phenomenal memory, deep devotion and practice of Krishna consciousness that he had acquired from his father. At the age of 17, he had disagreement with Mahesh Chandra, the principal of the College of Astronomy. He said, "Your calculations are rubbish. What I am telling you is correct." Mahesh Chandra is a principal, not even a professor, he's a principal. He's a dean. He thought, how can an ordinary student counter me? Siddhant Saraswati Thakur said, "Before you kick me out, I leave. I resign, I go." So he left. In his class was the king of Tripura. See, those days, India was ruled by princely states, many, many small states. 664 princely states were there in India. So the kingdom of Tripura was ruled by one king, Manikya, Bir Chandra Manikya, who was also his classmate. So Bir Chandra Manikya said, you come and become my court historian. And you become my court mathematician and Jyotisha. Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, okay. So he left to join the king. But the following year, the king died. And his ministers asked Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur to teach the king's children. The king was much older than Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was not happy to become an ordinary teacher for ordinary prince or princes of Tripura. So he wondered, what am I doing? Is this the goal of my life? You see, we all come at a point when we say, is this what I really want to do? And that was that moment when Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, 21-year-old, decided, I need to go to my father and ask him, what is the goal of my life? So although he was chanting, he was already initiated by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He hadn't dedicated his life yet. So he went to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur had moved to Navadvip. So he went to Navadvip. Just across the Jalangi is a beautiful island called Godrumadvip. At Godrumadvip, there is a beautiful kunja called Surabhi Kunja. And that is the place where Nityananda Prabhu went under the direction of Mahaprabhu and he started the Namahatta. We have Khodanithai, very nice. Khodanithai is a very nice song where it says that how Nityananda Prabhu himself became the distributor of holy names. This is where it happened, Surabhi Kunja. Just opposite Surabhi Kunj. When I say opposite, I don't even mean opposite. If where Prabhupada is there is Surabhi Kunj. Where the curtains are there, that is where Bhaktivinoda Thakur decided to have his own body. Body means house. He called it Swananda Sukhada Kunj. Swananda Sukhada Kunj. That small grove where one attains deep happiness. And from there, he could see Yogapit and he saw the birthplace of Mahaprabhu. So if you go to Mayapur, you can still go to Godrumadvip and visit his house. Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, 21-year-old, giving up the service of the king of Tripura, went back home, now to Navadvip. And there he asked his father, what shall I do? His father told him, there is no greater service than to purify yourself by chanting the holy names. Just this one instruction, Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, I shall chant 1 billion names. So he went and he chanted 1 billion names for several years. 1 billion names total is, I don't know how many years, somebody can do the mathematical calculation. Only eating very little. And then when he came back, Bhaktivinoda Thakur told him, you need to find a practicing Vaishnava. You see, there are many kinds of Vaishnavas. Some inspire us through philosophy. Others inspire us through their practice. And yet others inspire us by their very presence. These are the three categories. Prachar, Achar and Astitva. Three types. By their very presence, some inspire. Some by preaching, some by behaving. So, by the very presence of this personality who used to live in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house, who was a disciple of Bhaktivinoda, called Gaur Kishor Das Babaji. He inspired Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And at the age of 27, 1901, Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur took initiation from Gaur Kishor Das Babaji Maharaj. And Gaur Kishor Das Babaji Maharaj gave him the name Shri Varshabhanavi Daita Das. Varshabhanavi is the beloved daughter of Vrishabhanu Maharaj, Srimati Radharani. Daita means deer. Das means servant. The servant of one who is dear to the daughter of Vrishabhanu. Or the servant of Krishna, who is dear to the daughter of Vrishabhanu. So Sri Varshabhanavi Daita Das was the name given by Gaurakishore Das Babaji. After that, Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur decided to tour South India on a preaching mission. In 1904, when he was 30 years old, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, seeing the fervor, the spirit he had, gave him the name Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. He was already known as Siddhanta Saraswati, and the title Bhakti was added by Bhaktivinoda Thakur to him. But the most defining moment of Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's life was the confrontation that happened in Midnapur. So we are talking 1901. In 1911, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is a 37-year-old man. He's decided to not marry. When his father asked him, his mother asked him to get married. And he would repeat this to his disciples many times. He would say, if I can guarantee that my children, if I can guarantee that my children would be 100% Krishna conscious, pure devotees, then I would get married and have 100 children, Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur would say. But nobody can guarantee. So he said, then why marry? So he was a Naishtika Brahmachari. In 1911, in Midnapur, there was an argument by the Smartha Brahmanas. Smartha are those who are born in Brahmana families. The argument they had was two things. Number one, who is allowed to worship on the altar? Who is allowed to worship Shaligram Shila? Can Vaishnavas worship Shaligram Shila just because they have Vaishnav Diksha? And number two, can Vaishnavas give Diksha to those who are of the lower category? Shudras, Panchamas, all kinds of people, lower caste. Could Vaishnavas give Diksha? If the answer is yes, then that means Vaishnavas will raise them, raise even a Shudra to a Vaishnava, and then Vaishnava will be able to worship on the altar. So these Smartha Brahmanas did not like the idea. They sent an invitation to Kedarnath. Kedar Babu, please come, put your point forward. But Kedarnath was already failing, his health was failing. And so he asked his son, Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, to go to Midnapur to represent him. And he produced a paper which he read, Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. The name of the paper was Vaishnava Brahmana. Vaishnava and Brahmana. And in the audience were many personalities, many Brahmanas, many great scholars.